Great, thank you. All right, so I'd like to call this meeting to order, our April 7th meeting of Law Enforcement and Public Safety. As our first order, I'd like to entertain a motion to approve the March 3rd meeting minutes.
I'll make the motion.
Great motion, Legislator Hewitt. Can I have a second?
I'll second.
Second, Legislator Lopez. Any discussion? All those in favor? Any opposed? The minutes are approved unanimously. All right, we can go into resolutions. I'd like to entertain a motion for resolution number 170, confirming appointment of members to the Traffic Safety Board. Do we have a motion to discuss?
I'll move it.
All right. Do we have a second?
Second.
All right. Motion from Lopez, second from Hewitt. Anyone from the executive team want to just frame this for us, and then I'll open it up to any questions? Although I think with this, you know, most of us were expecting this.
I don't believe Mark's coming on. Yeah,
that's fine. If it's all right with the committee, I'll frame it because I think this came from the conversations from last time.
Yeah, thank you.
So Chair. I believe this is Lou Kleppner and Tom Polk being added to the Traffic Safety Board. I believe based on feedback that we shared when the Traffic Safety Board resolution appeared before us last month. Personally, you know, I'll say I'm very happy with these two members being added. But I'm curious if anyone has any questions or concerns. All right. I'll just say thank you to the executives team for responding to our request that we have folks from the pedestrian and cycling community added, and these two definitely fit that bill. So I'm very happy with that. So if there's no further discussion, I'll call the question. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, resolution number 170 passes unanimously. Resolution 171, appointing a member to the Ulster County Fire Advisory Board. Can I have a motion to discuss?
Motion.
Can I have a second?
Second.
All right, motion from Legislator Hansett, second from Legislator Lopez. Any discussion on this? All right, if that's the case, then I will call the question. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, motion 171 passes unanimously. Very similar resolution coming up next. Resolution 172, appointing a member to the Ulster County Fire Advisory Board. Can I have a motion to discuss?
I'll move it.
All right, motion from Heppner. Can I have a second?
I'll second it.
Second from Legislator Hansett. Any discussion? All right, I'll call the question. All those in favor? Any opposed? All right, 171 is unanimous. Resolution number 189, establishing a policy prohibiting the housing of incarcerated individuals transferred from facilities outside of Ulster County, the no more incarceration for profit policy. Can I have a motion to discuss?
I'll move it.
Second.
Can I have a second? All right, so it's moved by Legislator Heppner, second from Legislator Hewitt. And I'd like to go to the bill sponsor, or the bill's author, I should say, to get a little bit of background. Legislator Maloney?
Sure. I'm going to say a couple of things, tell you where I'm at. I'm definitely open for a quick discussion tonight, if anybody's willing. I have talked to Sheriff Figueroa. And I think I would have been looking for a postponement for a month anyway, so we could wrap our heads around it and have some discussion, especially in caucus. Once again, here we are, and we haven't even had a caucus to talk about these things. I think we need to be caucusing more, but that's for another day. First, I'd like to say that I thought me and Sheriff Figueroa had a great conversation, and I've sat back, my own opinion, and watched over the last couple of years and watched the sheriff really stay in his own lane. He deals with the jail, the road patrol. He's not looking to be in and do anybody else's job. And I've watched some countywide elected officials, I think, sometimes go out there. And I think the sheriff really handles it well. I have a lot of respect for him in the way he carries himself. And we've had some good exchanges. That being said, I do think that a policy such as this, we are the legislature is the policy making body, but we could be creating a policy that is strictly over at the jail. So I think I need to be, as I craft this, very cognizant of that and working with the sheriff and hearing him out before ever going to a vote, and hopefully having him on board, especially considering the fact that this has been his approach. And I want to publicly say that this is the first sheriff in my lifetime that's come along and moved us towards a policy such as this. I do think overall creating a major revenue stream off incarceration is not the way to go. I think it ends up taking you to places in an approach that has consequences that are not intended, but almost morally wrong. I also believe it's economically wrong. And I think if we fairly crunch the numbers through the years, I think there's more years than not that we've lost money. So to the taxpayer, I think this is wrong. And it's created an unsafe work and living environment for county residents that are incarcerated and the COs that are working there. When we're talking about some of the people we brought in from some of these federal places, it creates gang issues. There's weapons that I know have been more likely to be found on some of these federal inmates. So I think there's a lot of different reasons to have this conversation and move towards a policy like this. I feel very good about it. It's something I was very public about when I ran and got positive feedback from people on both sides of the aisle. I'd say 100% positive feedback. I didn't come across one person. I put it on my mailers. I talked about it in a debate and I had people contacting me. And it wasn't just, Democrats. It was Republicans and Democrats that, for all the reasons I mentioned. One amendment I will be making is, and something that came out of the conversation with Sheriff Figueroa was that there's times where law enforcement ends up incarcerated for a time, and they end up being, obviously, you don't want them always. There's reasons that they don't want to be in their own county. So that's something jails do for each other. And I don't want to take that ability away, especially considering the fact that some of these incarcerated law enforcement have families and they shouldn't have to travel any further than they need to. So I would amend that for us to be able to do that. I think it's a rare occasion that happens, but it makes sense. That's all I have to say on it tonight. I will be talking to everyone more. I'll be talking to Sheriff Figueroa again. And if anyone else has any comments, maybe I'm sure the sheriff does. I'd love to hear them.
Yeah, if it's all right with the committee, I'd love to go to Legislator Lopez. Do you mind if I go with the sheriff first?
Sure.
Cool. All right. Sheriff Figueroa, if you want to kind of share your thoughts on this.
Well, good evening, everyone, and thank you, Mr. Chair. And I did have a good conversation with Legislator Maloney. Obviously, there's some things that I don't necessarily agree with, but I do have an open mind, and I understand the intent of what he's trying to get at. And obviously, the flexibility of the importance of the sheriff having flexibility in public safety issues in the future is a major concern for me and this office. But I'm open-minded, and I'm looking forward to working with the legislature to get something that's going to work for everyone. But I'd also know that adding an extra layer when the sheriff needs an ability to do something quickly. He's not, whether it's me or the future sheriff, isn't going to wait a month to talk to the legislature to get something done when there's a public safety issue at hand. And obviously those are concerns that I know that we can work out with. And I'm looking forward to working with Legislator Maloney and the folks on this committee to get somewhere where we can all feel comfortable with what the intent is, which is making money off of an incarcerated individual, which I agree is not something that any of us should be doing. There obviously are instances where we have to do it, but I am, again, open-minded. It's not the policy of this office to solicit folks that came in except for during the pandemic, which I had a great conversation with Mr. Maloney about, and he's aware of that, and I will be happy to share with you in the future. But I look forward in working with everyone to get something that we can all agree with and live with. Thank you.
Great. Legislator Lopez.
Thank you, Chairman. I guess this question would be for the sheriff. I see the resolution has a caveat for transfers required by law or court order. However, it does not have one for contractual obligations, if any. Does the county have existing contracts with other facilities that would have to be terminated or modified if this policy were to pass?
So we do have contracts with the federal government. However, it's at the decision of the sheriff whether or not we would accept any inmates. And at this point, this sheriff will not be accepting anyone due to the staffing levels at the jail. And a little history besides the pandemic, we had a hiring freeze, a promotion freeze, and a retirement incentive, and less people interested in doing this job. So it makes it difficult to bring anybody in for the purposes of, it was never really a profitable thing. And I agree with Mr. Maloney on this, because it's $22 million a year to run the jail. But it did offset some of the costs to the taxpayer. Of course, we're always looking to see if an emergency like the pandemic comes up in the future, that we would have to keep an open mind for something like that, because we didn't know where we were going to go. Thank God we made it through there. But I do understand the intent of not bringing incarcerated folks from outside the county to make money. My staffing levels cannot afford we just can't afford to have extra bodies here anyway. I remember reading in the papers, and I'm sure those that have been around for a while realize that when the jail was built, this jail was built to bring in board-ins. Greene County lost its jail. It was shut down by the State Commission of Corrections, and that's why Greene County inmates were here. And when I was elected, the sheriff pulled it out, and it was complete politics at that time. When the new sheriff got elected in, he didn't want his folks to go way up to Albany. So we, of course, accepted them here. And things like that do occur from time to time for the benefit of bordering counties. And I just want everybody to keep an open mind relating to that. But as far as actual up-to-date contracts, I don't think there are any of them at this point, other than those that that are done with individual counties regarding board ends. And the State Commission on Corrections actually are the ones that authorizes that. So it's not something that is done solely by the sheriff. The State Commission on Corrections has to authorize that.
Okay, so if there aren't any kind of, there could be reciprocity agreements though, right, with other facilities as well, that would have to be come to a conclusion before you move forward with this as well, or at least part of the process, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Anyone who hasn't spoken yet will have any questions or points of discussion, and then we'll go back to Legislator Maloney. Okay, Legislator Maloney.
Yeah, two things. Didn't sound to me like there was a whole lot. I think we're the intent of this, and we'll make sure it's written tightly, that anybody that's here now is not going to be booted out. We don't like to use the phrase grandfathered in anymore, but they'll be grandfathered into our jail. And I think there's, I don't know, 10 or so. I believe the number I got was $70 a day is what we get. Many of these people end up in the psych ward at times, which means one CO is going with them. That's a lot of overtime. We're feeding them, we're transporting them. When you start really crunching the numbers at $70 a day, I mean, you end up running overtime a handful of times, and we're running a ton of overtime regardless, but this is driving overtime as well. The wear and tear on our COs and what they're going through when you have, 20 something people on Easter coming in for a double. And this is nothing on the sheriff. When these men and women are going to work. I think you had an officer pass away at the jail. I mean, this is intense what these men and women are going through. It is the hardest job in the county. And I think this adds to it. And whether it's a $22 million annual budget to run that jail or whatever, $70 a day. And if you're running overtime because of it, not to mention feeding, transportation, and all these other things, then it doesn't, I don't believe it offsets that, but that's a financial discussion and debate for another day. But I appreciate what everyone thought. And I didn't hear much contractual that we'd have to, sounds like that we'd have to deal with there. I didn't hear the sheriff say that, but.
I just would like to add that as far as we only have five females from Greene County, because they're Greene County, the Greene County jail is brand new and it hasn't been approved for female usage at this point. So we only have five of them. We do get every now and then one-on-one, but we also have our own 150 prisoners that are on one-on-one as well. For example, there are 32 to 48 cells in a given housing unit. If we have 20 females and we add five to it, that's not a major cost for us per se, because whether you have five females that belong to us or 20, we still have to man that and post that housing unit 24/7. So I look at it in that aspect of it. Transportation, of course, is something that does occur from time to time, but we also transport our own folks. And so that's just part of it. As far as the dangerousness, the issues that we've had under my tenure have been pretty much the same. Even when we did have the federal inmates that came in, it didn't exceed any previous years. It is a jail, and there are dangers that come with working at a jail, and everybody that works here knows that. But I do agree with Mr. Maloney that this is one of the most dangerous jobs and by far the toughest job in law enforcement. Thank you.
Deputy Chair Hansett.
Legislator Maloney, if you could just maybe elaborate a little bit, if you can, on just what were the major concerns or the complaints of those COs that you haven't mentioned yet, really. Like, I understand the safety. Was there anything else that came to light that was a big concern for them?
I think the COs feel like it's driving overtime, which is their biggest issue, which is, look, I think we just hired five new COs. The sheriff is hiring everyone he can, everyone he's allowed to, everyone, and I think we've just had five COs quit recently. So it's like, okay. It's an impossible thing he's dealing with. And I have heard from COs that they felt, especially the federal inmates, they've also stated sometimes even some of the Greene County inmates they've gotten have gone to the psych ward, which has driven overtime. I mean, it's a real, but I think if you polled the COs, I don't know if you'd be at 100%, but I haven't talked to a CO that is for boarding outside of the county.
All right. Thank you.
I appreciate the it's always good to have several sides of the story. It's a little bit different when you're sitting, operating and managing the office of sheriff. And I want to be clear here, though, and very, very careful that the operations of this office is done by the sheriff and not the COs or their unions. And I think that's a concern of mine when they do that. They have a chain of command, and issues that they want to bring up, they can bring it up through the chain of command. And we try to answer every and all that occurs. Unfortunately, this type of job does require mandatory overtime. And when they swear, when I give them the oath of office, they know what they're getting into. They get explained, and they know that there are times you're going to be working mandatory overtime, and staffing levels, because of what happened the last couple of years, have been devastated. And it's just been tough. And I just want everybody to keep an open mind about that, because it's been tough being a CO back there. So there's no other way around that. I'm not looking to bring any, either now or in the future, I'm not looking to bring any inmates from outside. I did the Greene County thing. I think it was a good thing as a bordering county, because I would hope one day that if we run into an issue like that, that they would do the same for us. And I wouldn't want to send my inmates, because they closed the jail because of the leaky roofs here, up to Albany, and having the poorest people in the county drive up to Albany and visit their families up there. I'd rather take them to Greene County. And so that's why it's important to have an open mind when we sit down and discuss these really important issues.
I would like to quickly say that these conversations have predated, you know, I've gone to high school with, I play softball with COs. A lot of the conversations I've had were years ago about these federal inmates and what they were dealing with. But I don't really look at it as a chain of command when a guy's done, you know, three doubles in a row and he shot and he's at a softball game and he's, you know, mentioning that he shot because he's done three shifts in a row. It's not like, you know, I wouldn't be, you know, I don't, you know, I having you talk about chain of command and whatnot, I think it's pretty healthy, the conversations that I've had, and I don't think they've undermined anything in any way, and I hope I don't hear, you know, that that there's COs now being that you're gonna go around and start trying to figure out who's talking to legislators or something like that.
No, I would never do that. That's not the way I operate. But I want to make it clear to the legislature that these people work for me. I know they're your constituents, but they work for me. You're my oversight, and I work for the people of this county as a whole. And there is a certain amount of understanding of what a paramilitary organization is. That's what this is. That's why we have ranks. That's why there's mandatory overtime. That's why we have to do the work that we do. This is inherently a dangerous job. If it wasn't, I would tell you it wasn't, but that's not true. It is a dangerous job.
Agreed. And that's why I don't think I don't believe their contract. And I'm sure you'd like to see them get a better contract. I'd like to see them have the same exact contract as the road patrol, you know, and that'd be something I'd be willing to fight for. And it hasn't happened. And, and a lot of those conversations that I've had lead me to being very loyal to those COs and thinking that they're not getting enough. And I know you agree with that.
I do.
I wish our county executive agreed and the rest of my colleagues agreed.
I definitely agree with that. They're definitely different jobs, but I agree that I don't like for them to feel like they're second class citizens, because to me that they're not. This is one office. That's why we went to one uniform instead of having two uniforms when I took, when I took this took this job, and I saw that. And but they did okay in the last contract. It's the biggest contract they ever had in the history of this office. And I'm pretty proud of the work that we did to get that done.
All right. Deputy Chair Hansett.
I just want to say, I think this is a great conversation. And I think one of the things that as we go forward with this is that we have to look at if there is special situations, and that's what's going to happen. Like, I don't think a couple of years ago, any of us expected to live through this pandemic or see what a pandemic was like for the long time that we were in it, but we never know what's going to happen. Sickness can happen in jails, with the inmates, with the staffing, like the sheriff just said, a roof leak, anything can happen. So we have to be very careful, I think, that there can be situations where we can't almost be all or nothing. So we just have to be cognizant of that.
Legislator Lopez.
Yeah, how would this affect alternative outlets to send Ulster inmates should circumstances require that to be done?
And that's why we have to talk about that when we sit and discuss what is it that we want the resolution to look at the end. But you're right, that is an issue. I have six folks that are boarded out right now. And again, it's whether it's the psych hospitals that they're at, or it's because the individual needs to be housed in a different facility because of maybe they're related to somebody here or work here. So yes, we got to be careful about not shutting down our possibilities. And that's why that's important that flexibility be in there. If you are going to do a resolution, as if there's got to be flexibility for the sheriff to be able to make decisions and not go to the legislature that meets once or twice a month when he has to make that decision now. And that's why it's important to understand that there's got to be some sort of flexibility built in here.
Sure.
Any other discussion? All right, I'd like to say before we move on from this, and I would ask also if the sponsor is all right with it, that we would take no action on this. I think that's probably the right thing rather than a postponement, although I'm open to either. But before we get to that, I'll just say, you know, I do support this. I think that having a no more incarceration for profit policy should be our policy. And I'll just say, you know, I appreciate the need for flexibility and I definitely look forward to discussions about how to build that into this legislation. You know, Sheriff, you mentioned tying the hands of a future sheriff. And I will say to that, you know, they say imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. I would say maybe one step further than that is when we enshrine your policies in law, it might be an even more sincere form of flattery. And I think this is something that you've done the right thing on, Sheriff. Much as I might not like it, you might not be sheriff forever. There might be a day when you decide to, you know, take your boat and actually spend some time out there. I would want this policy in place when that time comes, with the flexibility to handle whatever the future brings. So with that, I'm thinking the best course of action is to take no action on this. And
I'm okay with no action, so it's not against my will.
Great. Okay. All right. So then we can just move on. Resolution number 190, authorizing the chair of the legislature to enter into an agreement with the Department of Justice for asset forfeiture through the Ulster County Sheriff's Office. Do I have a motion to discuss?
I'll move it.
And a second?
Second.
All right, moved by Legislator Lopez, second by Legislator Hewitt. Sheriff, do you want to just frame how this works?
So the asset forfeiture is usually done by the federal government. Once in a blue moon, it's done by the state government. And we obviously these are assets of illegal proceeds that were done in criminal cases. And that's why it's got to be approved by the legislature.
Okay. And my understanding is we really don't have a choice in the matter. Whether asset forfeiture is a topic that we feel passionately about or not. That's my understanding. Does anyone have any questions or concerns, points of discussion? All right, we'll call the question. All those in favor? Any opposed? All right, that is 190, passes unanimously. Moving on to 191, approving the execution of a contract for $588,533.58 entered into by the county with Axon Enterprise, Inc. through the Ulster County Sheriff's Office. Can I have a motion to discuss? Motion from Legislator Hansett. Can I have a second?
Second
from Legislator Hewitt. All right, my understanding is this is simply the contract that we paved the way for by amending the capital budget last month. Sheriff Figueroa, is there anything, this is just basically as simple as that?
This is from the contract management side to get the contract done. Hopefully, it's important that we do it this month. So thank you.
Yep. Great. Any questions?
It's the body cams.
Yep. Any questions or concerns? All right, and I'll call the question. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, that is 191, passes unanimously. Resolution number 192, approving the execution of a contract for $985,163 entered into by the county with Black Creek Integrated Systems Corp. through the Ulster County Sheriff's Office. Can I have a motion to discuss?
Move it.
And a second? Second. All right, so that was moved by Heppner, second by Hewitt. Sheriff, I believe this is the same sort of deal.
Sheriff, you should tell that was the second by Lopez.
Oh, sorry, second by Lopez. For Nettie's notes, thank you. Any questions or concerns on this one? All right, with that, I will call the question. All those in favor? Any opposed? All right, the resolution is unanimous. All right, moving on to resolution number 208, approving the memorandum of agreement between the County of Ulster and the Ulster County Sheriff's Police Benevolent Association, Inc. on behalf of the Ulster County Deputy Sheriff's Superior Officers Unit for the years of 2020, 2021, 2022, 2023, and 2024, and amending the 2022 Ulster County budget. Can I have a motion to discuss?
Move.
And a second?
I'll second it.
All right, so a second by Hansen. I think, was that Lopez again for the motion?
That was me.
No, was that, that was Legislator Heppner. All right, thank you. All right, Sheriff, do you want to frame this? Or I don't know who's, would you be the best to frame this, or?
Are we talking resolution 208?
Yeah, 208. This is the PBA Superior Officers.
This is the Commissioned Officers Union, which is separate from the PBA, but they work hand in hand, and this is their contract.
Yep. Anything from the, yep. Chris?
So this is five members, and typically once we finish the negotiations with PBA and settle those contracts, what we do is try to mirror the same terms. So I think the overall impact for these employees is about $300,000 over the term of the contract. But when we went into the negotiation, we made sure that it was mirroring what we gave the other units within the sheriff's office.
Great. And I have a question. Do they have leadership separate from the leadership of the full PBA unit in the sheriff's office?
Yes, they do.
It's a special grouping of the upper management within the sheriff's office. So when we negotiate, this was with Altieri.
Right, Captain Altieri, who's the chief of basically the captain of the criminal division, and he runs the criminal division, and it's his three lieutenants.
Okay, great.
And a detective lieutenant.
Detective lieutenant, sorry.
Any questions, concerns, or points of discussion from anyone on the committee? All right, with that, I'll call the question. All those in favor? Any opposed? All right, resolution 208 proceeds unanimously. Moving on to resolution 193, amending the 2022 Ulster County budget to accept an allocation of funds from the New York State Office of Children and Family Services and create one part-time mental health specialist position in the Department of Probation. Can I have a motion to discuss?
I'll move. Well, second.
All right, great. We got a motion from Hewitt. We got a second from Heppner. Nancy, do you want to frame the context here?
Sure, I'd be happy to. So this is specifically in our crime victims unit. They received a award from the state. It's COVID money passed through the state. It has specific requirements how it can be used. It's specifically around sexual assault victims. And one of the things that we really see a need for, and people are probably aware of, that there's a shortage of mental health services, and to have someone on staff part-time that we can immediately connect our clients with and provide trauma-informed services and counseling. We do crisis counseling, but the more in-depth, specialized, trained staff to do therapy with clients, we would have on staff only for the period of the grant. And that's about 2 years and a few months.
Great, thank you, Director Schmidt. Any questions from the committee? All right, well, with that, I will call the question on resolution number 93. All those in favor? Any opposed? All right, resolution 193 is unanimous. Moving on to resolution 194, approving the execution of a contract amendment for 601,000 $140.04 entered into by the county with New York State Technology Enterprise Corporation, Office of Emergency Management. Can I have a motion to discuss?
Move it.
And second. A second?
Second.
All right. So that was a motion from Legislator Lopez, a second from Legislator Heppner. Director Erickson, can you give us some background here?
Sure. This contract amendment is specifically for NYSTEC that is assisting us with the review and implementation of the radio system project. So as you're aware, we have our Motorola design project, and we've been working with NYSTEC for the review. That was the initial contract, and now we're amending it to go into the next portion of to go through specifically work on collaboration, develop the overall project implementation plan, verification and validation of the specifications, and then monitoring the activities throughout the project, do quality assurance, and then review, and then basically help us turn the system on in 2024. And additionally, throughout the term of this contract, they would help us with state grant opportunity guidance.
And this is all against capital project 482, is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, great. Any questions from the committee? I appreciate the spreadsheet that you shared with us earlier, which is why I was, drawing that connection with Capital Project 482. What we're looking at here with the backup that was provided is we've got the item of the Motorola contract, and then the addresses that are under that. Those are the sites of specific aspects of the implementation.
Those are our towers. So some of those towers are owned by us. Some are not. Some were just co-located on those towers. So you have the Motorola contract, which was a design using a VHF system, and a 10 tower system. We currently are on a 6 tower system using low band radios, which is an obsolete system. So we need to upgrade some of the equipment, upgrade certain towers for microwave paths to meet our needs. Some towers need to be completely built out, and that lists all of them. As you see, we've been very successful with Steve Peterson in receiving grants. We're going to continue to put in for those grants, but as you're aware, we have to receive them, but we also have a project that we need to complete. So just trying to be transparent with that.
And this this contract is for the project management. So like if we were to consider how this contract falls into the context of the towers and then the larger Motorola contract, this fits within the larger Motorola contract.
Yeah. So the first portion of this contract, which was just under $43,000 back in July of last year, that you approved, that was the review of the design contract. This $601,000 is an overall of the 482 program from the completion of the review moving forward to we turn the system on in 2024.
So there shouldn't be any other project management or design review. Like there aren't going to be any more professional services contracts to see us across the finish line here. Is that right?
Yeah, I would. This is to for the rest of our project.
This Got it. And this is all within what we budgeted. Meaning Correct. This the price tag on this contract was expected and is in budget.
Correct. Yep, and okay. And we're using grant funding to pay for this. This all $644,000 and change is all grant funded.
Okay. Deputy Executive Kelly.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Everett. So I just wanted to, two parts, and this is something that Everett educated me on and Steve has. So this project really started in 2011 and 2012 with a study that was commissioned on our existing radio system, which originally that study, and Everett, please jump in at any point, where it said that to replace everything with a certain type of radio system would be approximately 28 to today's cost to build a tower at $1 million a piece, roughly, to like $32-33 million for full build out. When Steve was in charge and they started to get into the details and get further into system selection, instead of going with, I believe it was a 7800 frequency, and going with high band. The high band has more interoperability with other systems and is also cheaper and more efficient. So it did bring down the overall project cost at that time. So when this originally started out, some of that visioning was a much larger in scale, and that's $2012 estimates, which would probably be significantly higher today. So through securing grant funds, through working through the project, now they're going through the site tower selection, we have been able to trim those costs. There is a point, though, that because of the terrain of Ulster County, when you start getting up into Shandaken especially, and even in some of these other kind of valleys within the mountains that don't have good coverage, we could see a second phase that we're currently going to be looking at, where there could be an additional 6 tower locations looking in Shandaken, but also looking in the Rosendale area where there might be a need for additional coverage. So part of the work that they're all doing, and this is kind of Steve's full-time, part-time job in retirement, is analyzing all of this and making sure that the system that we build out now will have the interoperability, we'll have the proper coverage. So more to come, but I have to say that based on the initial assessment of this project, the cost has come down significantly. So there has been a lot of iterations of it, and I am working currently with our budget team and the financial analysts to make sure that the appropriation levels are lining up with the actual spend on the project, because there have been a lot of different amendments on the project. So that work's ongoing. And Everett, please correct me if I stepped on any wrong lines here.
No, you're pretty much on point. So
I'll take it. Thank you, sir.
Great. Any other questions from the committee? Well, I'll just say, since we've got, it looks like we've got Steve Patterson listening in here. Thank you, Steve, for continuing to be part of the team here to get this across the finish line. I'd imagine there's some kind of personal attachment to seeing it across the finish line as well, and we really appreciate it.
Thank you, Chair. I appreciate that. It's a good team to work with. Director Erickson is fantastic to work for, as well as Deputy County Executive Kelly. It's a good team, and I'm looking forward to making it all come true.
Great. Thank you. All right. Well, if there's no other questions, I will call the question on resolution number 194. All those in favor? Any opposed? All right. 194 passes unanimous. We don't have any old business. I asked for a couple things to be added into new business. The first, I think I actually got an update on since then, but just so that it's for the record of the committee, I had asked for an update from the county executive's office on the 18B plan timeline. And Chris, I think you just said it just went to RFP. Is that that one? Or was that a different one?
So the questions that Legislator Walter, the former chair of the committee, asked, one was with regards to requests to fill for the sheriff's office for professional standards, which were signed prior to that meeting. The second part was on the jail reentry RFP, because the legislature did pass a policy requesting that RFP last August. That has been sent out, and we expect responses by 4/29. So that process is also underway. Legislator Walter also asked, and the committee asked about 18B. So as part of Hurl Herring, we hired, as part of a mandate, we hired an 18B kind of assigned council administrator, and we're under a mandate to create a program where if there's a conflict and the public defender's office cannot defend a client, the judges will assign a private attorney. What we're implementing now, and one thing I'd ask the committee, is to have our assigned counsel administrator come to this committee and provide an update on this, because what we're doing is taking from currently the criminal and kind of the justice court side, those appointments that typically go to the attorneys of kind of favor, and creating a pool where we kind of, we equitably distribute these 18B cases. And we've made significant progress to that end, and we'll be moving towards family court to implement that same process in May. And I think it would be great if you guys could hear from Jim Lynch, our assigned counsel administrator, who's been really plugging away. The last question on that it was approved for him to have an administrative assistant, and we didn't fill that position last year. And that was the call of the assigned counsel administrator, who didn't feel as if, as he was creating the program, that he had that need at the time. He has since filled out the request to fill, and we're at a point where he feels comfortable that the workload is established, where we'll look to fill that position as well. Okay. That does that.
So we could expect at a future meeting we would hear from, or we would have Mr. Lynch as a guest?
Absolutely. So you tell me when it feels appropriate to have him come present and give you an overview of the work that his office is doing. He typically, because of the nature of his work, he doesn't have resolutions that typically, he doesn't have resolutions really, like that's the crux right. of it. So when you guys want to reach out to Mr. Lynch, that's perfectly fine. I'm glad to set that up.
Thank you. And I'll probably coordinate with Legislator Walter, you know, who kind of started this conversation, to make sure that it's a time when she'll be present as well.
Perfect.
And thank you. And actually, future, does anyone have any questions about that before I move on? The next item is actually about future meetings. So we were supposed to meet this month at the Restorative Justice Center. Obviously, this month didn't go exactly as planned as related to COVID, as has so often been the case. Rather than push everything just back a month, I'm thinking, and I think I kind of mentioned this previously, that I would like to get us into the law enforcement center. I'm thinking it might make sense to just put off visiting the Restorative Justice Center for the time being, do it maybe in the summer, and hold our April plan to go to the law enforcement center. Particularly, I mean, number one, I think it's an important experience for all legislators on this committee. I know that there's legislators besides just those that are on the committee that are interested in going to that, having a kind of look into the facility, and especially in light of the conversation tonight around Legislator Maloney's resolution on the out of county wardens, I think it would make sense to do that. So that's the plan. If anyone has any questions, let me know. But I'm saying tonight, next month, we're going to meet at the law enforcement center, assuming that we're going to be meeting in person. My thinking is we'll plan on a start time that's, consistent with this start time. However, there are a couple of other moving pieces, especially people that might have committee meetings right after this, which I know is at least one person on the committee. So that's kind of, please reach out to me and Nettie regarding scheduling, and Chair Figueroa will go to you.
I just wanted to know what date you're looking at, because I got to check my schedule to make sure I'm going to be here.
May 5th. It's the first Thursday of the month, May 5th.
I will be in Buffalo. But I should be brought them back. So I should be here. I'll just.
Are you sure? I mean, okay. Why don't we talk? Because if we had to move the date, to there, we have flexibility with that. Obviously, you'll be an important part of that that moment there when we are on site. So let's make sure in the next week or so that this is a date that works for you. And if it's not, then we'll communicate about what's the best course of action to take.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Does anyone have any other new business? And there's one last thing I want to mention before we close. Nothing else. All right. So I just want to say, I really appreciate the conversations that we've been having in this committee and the way that I've been able to kind of manage as chair, the flow of a very organic flow of conversating where we're not necessarily going through the chair to speak to, you know, from a legislator to the sheriff, and then we'll get a response. And I haven't really been playing a very strict traffic cop, which is my goal. And I think this is it speaks to the committee and the, you know, and the legislature in general, that we do pretty well with that kind of conversation. But I will mention that it's only because we handle it so well that we're able to do that. And if anyone ever feels that they would prefer a more kind of regimented conversation, if they're not able to get a word in, or if I ever feel like the conversation is getting a little bit out of control, there's too much crosstalk, you know, we will have to go to be more deliberate about getting called on and wait until the next time you get called on to give a response. However, right now, I'm feeling really good about the conversations we're having on this committee, and I'd love to keep it kind of organic. So I just wanted to mention that I see that. I recognize that it's a choice that we're making to be organic, and I hope that it keeps flowing like that, because I'm really enjoying this. Legislator Hewitt.
Thank you. I just wanted to let everyone know that Legislator Erner and I did a tour of the public safety office. I wanted to learn more about public safety because we focused a lot on law enforcement so far. So we got to know the staff and the offices, and it's not traffic safety, just so my fellow legislators know. It's about keeping our employees and assets of the county safe with trainings and insurances and things like that. And so I'll try to inform you all if anything comes up. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much. And if anyone has any, you know, there's obviously a lot that this committee covers that we don't always hear from. So if anyone has any interest in you know, checking out more of our county workforce or any operations, you know, please keep me in the loop. I'd love to participate or help facilitate or, you know, extend the invitation to other folks. To the extent possible. All right. So with that, I think we can take a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
All right.
Second.
Can I have a second? All in favor?
Aye.
All right. That was a motion from Hewitt, a second from Lopez, and it was unanimous. We are adjourned. Thanks, all.
Thanks, everybody.
Good night, everybody.